I appreciate that song about how worthy is the name of God. It's a different file than that. It's the number our days file. So that would have been Sunday school from a while back. And I appreciate the songs we've sung this morning that help us focus on our Lord and Savior. Appreciate Lanny's words that help us focus on Him, because that's what this life is all about. It really is. Don't know how you see things, how your perspective works, but for me, time goes by pretty quick. It has this last little bit. Time has passed pretty quickly. And think about the Christmas season and how quickly that's gone. It seems like it was yesterday that we got out decorations and got them put up. It was really a little before yesterday. It was back Thanksgiving weekend at our house that we started getting them out. But it goes by so quickly. And this past month as a whole has gone by in a real hurry. Or 2011, as you think about this year that has seemed to fly by, and yet it was full of events. It was full of amazing things and momentous things that took place. The newspapers today and over the last couple of days have been full of accounts of things that took place, just reflecting on the year in particular. And as you think about this past year, there are things that stand out for you, but some of the images, some of the things that stand out in this past year, one of them is something that Isaac can tell us about. Isaac, what's that picture of?
Space shuttle.
The space shuttle. Now, Isaac knows because he was there on July 8th when the last space shuttle to ever fly was launched, and he got to see an image like that. John and I got to be there as well. Timmy and Joy, it was just an impressive event any time, but that was the last one, and that image lingers with folks. There are images of folks that are no longer with us that were leaders of different nations around the world, whether it's Kim Jong-il from over in Korea or Osama bin Laden or Gaddafi and the impacts they had. It's hard to forget the images of the floods, tsunami, the earthquake that took place in Japan, and how devastating those events were to the folks in that nation. There was a royal wedding. I'm not big into following royal weddings, but it was part of the news of this last year, part of the events that folks were interested in. There was a shooting of a congresswoman, Gabriel Gifford, that occurred early this year. Just a tragic event, scary in different ways. The passing of Steve Jobs, who impacted technology in so many different ways. I happened to be in Boston the day that he passed away, and in the Cambridge Square area, right outside the hotel I was staying in, there was a memorial that was established within hours of his death, of folks leaving memorabilia about him and his impact. Tornadoes came through the southeast, different places. Joplin, Missouri was one of those places that was severely hit. It's one of those that when it hits close to home or those we care about, we really recognize. Some of those we forget when it's a little bit further away. Tim Tebow, and leaving a different kind of impression on folks. And I just appreciate his stand for faith. I really appreciate that. Those are a handful of images from 2011. There are countless others that could be in a collage like that. Others that are imprinted in your mind about 2011. And it takes thousands and thousands to capture that one year. But I don't want us to focus on 2011. I want us to focus on another attempt to capture life as a whole. And it's an attempt, an effort that came from Moses. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Psalm 90. Many of the Psalms were written by David, but this one in particular, and many of your Bibles will make this note at the beginning of it, reference this was a psalm that was written by Moses. And it's worth, as you think about all the events of 2011 and trying to capture them, trying to record them, think about Moses, because Moses was the one, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who wrote down the words of the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. Moses was the one who's the author of those books, inspired by God. So as newspaper journalists, as writers, as reporters, think about 1 year and what it takes to capture that. Think about the challenge not of capturing 1 year, but of capturing the first 2,600 years of man's history. And what do you leave in and what do you leave out and what's important and what's not. And in those first five books, Moses and Genesis, as Ronnie taught classes here some time back, tells so much of the grand story of the creation of the entire universe. It's captured there. He talks about Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman, the first family. He talks about the flood, and he talks about patriarchs and leaders from Abraham through Joseph, through Jacob. Just so much captured in those 50 chapters. In the Exodus, he talks about the 400 years that the children of God, the children of Israel, spent in Egypt, and how they were delivered ultimately, how he played a part in God's story to deliver those people, about the initial giving of the Ten Commandments on the mountain. In Leviticus, he's not so much telling history as he's talking about God's relationship with man, of the law, of God's expectations, about what's clean and what's unclean, and how we're to live in relation to him. In Numbers, Moses is writing about the children of God and their wandering in the wilderness, about the spies that were sent out. He talks about stories like Balak and Balaam, an amazing story of God using a beast of burden to talk to a person and convey God's truth. And finally, in Deuteronomy, Moses records this the second time that God gave the Ten Commandments, the law, the covenant being renewed, and Moses' own final words in the last part of this chapter as he records the last part of his life. It's a lot to capture. It's a lot to put together. 2,600 years, just a handful of pages in your Bible or mine. And it's in that perspective of having penned all that history that Moses' words in Psalm 90 come to us and echo a perspective that is amazing to me, a perspective about all of life and what matters in life. Psalm 90 is spoken of as being a prayer of Moses. In my Bible and the NIV, that's what it says right underneath the title Psalm 90. It says a prayer of Moses. And think of it that way, as a prayer of Moses calling upon God. It's got three basic parts. It talks about the brevity of life, about the transparency of life, how fragile our life is, how God understands and sees everything. And the last part is a plea or an entreaty, a request of God for his favor. So looking at the first two verses in it, Moses says, Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. It says, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Do you ever think about generations before you and how different life was in so many different ways, whether it was before cell phones, before the internet, before indoor plumbing, before this nation was formed, before, and you go on and on. So many changes throughout history and the generations before us. And Moses starts out this verse, this context, this guy that wrote about 2,600 years of man's existence, and he said in every one of those generations there was one constant. There was one thing that everyone could count on and know, and that was you are God. You've been our dwelling place. You've been our refuge. You've been our source of strength. You've been where we've turned to for all generations. Before these great mountains that folks see were ever formed, before they ever came into existence, you were there and you were God. Before this earth or what we see in the night sky, the galaxies around us, before they were created, you were there. And then he uses that phrase, from everlasting to everlasting, from infinity to infinity, forever and ever. He's always been. That's his perspective as he calls upon Jehovah God, as he recognizes who he is. And he's saying that our God is sovereign. He's in control. He's got things in his hand. And that for him, there's no constraint that time gives. Time does not limit what he has done, can do, will do. He is unconstrained by that. So in thinking about God's eternal nature, you read in Exodus, part of the account that Moses penned, you read of a conversation Moses had with God when God was asking Moses to go and stand for him in front of leaders of the land. And as Moses is about to do that, he's trying to think through, what am I going to say? What am I going to do before Pharaoh? Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you to lead them. And they asked me, what is his name? What am I going to tell them? How am I going to tell them that it is you that has sent me? There are two things that amaze me in just that scripture that's there. One is this concept of who God is at the core of Moses' prayer. But the other is that Moses was having this conversation with God. It is wondrous and amazing that God interacted. Sovereign God of all the universe interacted with that one individual. He cares about us too, but he interacted with them. And so God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites, that I am has sent me to you. That's how God identified himself, with just a simple statement. Not I will be, not I was, I am. And that describes him through all eternity. Unbounded by time. That same message came up in the New Testament when Jesus was speaking, and he was talking to folks that struggled with belief. He told them, your father, talking to Jews, he said, your father, Abraham, rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. And the Israelites, the Jewish people, said to him, you aren't even 50 years old. How in the world can you know Abraham or claim to have seen Abraham? And Jesus responds, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. Doesn't make sense in English and grammatical construction, but it's the truth. Jesus, God, has always existed. That's part of his eternal nature. Matthew Henry spoke about between a minute and a million years, there's some proportion, but between time, as we know it, and eternity, there is none. So different, so vastly different, that concept. Sometimes we talk about things in people years, and sometimes we talk about things in dog years. Some folks do anyway. And you think about, you take the lifespan of a dog and you make it proportional to the lifespan of a person, and you make some ratio that one dog year may be like seven people years. Well, you think about carrying that forward into, so what are man years in terms of God? What is it like? And that's what this brevity of man discussion that Moses goes into somewhat in Psalm 90 and verses 3 through 6 is about. He says, verse 4, for 1,000 years in your sight, 1,000 years in God's sight, 1,000 years of man's life are like a day to God, a day that's just gone by, or like a watch in the night, 3 or 4 hours in the night. You sweep man away in the death, sleep of death, and they're like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up, by evening it's dry and withered. How quickly our lives come and go in the context of Moses writing 2,600 years of history, or in the context of God's existence overall. Those 1,000 years that he spoke of, they had some significance to him. As you think about what he wrote back in Genesis, as he was writing about genealogies of folks, in Genesis chapter 5, he talks about different folks who lived, and he speaks of one person in particular, Methuselah, man who's lived longer than anybody else, lived 969 years. And the person that wrote that about Methuselah living 969 years says, it's just like a blink of an eye. It's just a day in the time frame of God. It's just a passing moment. It was Moses that recorded the fact that all of the nation of Israel that went into the wilderness, that were 20 years old and older, all of those that went for the Exodus and who didn't believe in God, that was everybody except two, Joshua and Caleb, that were above 20, they all perished in the wilderness. None of them entered into the promised land. Moses knew about the brevity of life. He understood that as he talked about that in this prayer about not dog years and man years, but about man years and God years. 1,000 years, just as a day in his sight. This is in there just for Herd. A cat training book. I have to give some equal time to dogs and cats, I suppose. But I saw this cover advertised, and you read about it. It talks about cat training in 10 minutes. Teach your cat to come, roll over. And you know that's a work of fiction. You know that can't be right. Can you imagine? You see dog obedience schools. You see shows on TV about successful folks training dogs, like the Dog Whisperer. How many times do you see a cat training school that really works? Or a TV show. I'm yet to see the TV show about some person coming into your home with a problem cat and teaching it to obey and to heal. Just doesn't work. I don't want to be overly harsh, but cats are independent. They enjoy life, live for themselves, do what they want to do. If you're, at least my impression, that the cats I've been around, a few over the years, that they really don't care if I'm home or not, as long as they've got food and as long as they've got their needs met. On the other hand, dogs, you know, people call them man's best friend for a reason. Hard to see with the lights on. This is Barney. This golden retriever kind of mix over there is Andy, named after the characters in Mayberry, Andy Griffith Show. And those two dogs have that kind of character. They were strays that showed up 2 years ago on Christmas Day at my mom's house and came home to live with us. And Andy is like Andy on Andy Griffith. He's calm and collected and thoughtful and reasoned. Barney is like Barney on Andy Griffith. He's got one bullet, and he wants to shoot it all the time, just in whatever he can do. But those dogs, when I come home, you know, I don't know what's really going through their heads, but there's the sense that they're glad to see me. There's a sense that they long for me to be there, and they're just happy being with people. When we're in the house, they're outside dogs. They're typically at the door looking in. They're typically wanting to be close. They connect with us in a special way. Now, Moses didn't explicitly write about dogs and cats, but the next verses in Psalm 90 are verses that talk about our connection with him. If we may have to just stay on that slide the rest of the time. But the next verses in Psalm 90 speak to that overall. We'll advance back there. We'll get it restarted. It's one of the dangers of putting too many pictures in something. There we go. We read there in verses 7 and 8 that we're consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. God knows us intimately. God knows what's in our hearts. God knows what we're about and what we do and what we think. He understands everything that we've done. As children, sometimes we would try and get away with stuff. And we try and hide things that we may have done, mistakes we've made. Sometimes we still try and do that in ways. There's no hiding what's in our hearts before God. He knows us intimately. And that means so much in our relationship. So much. The Hebrew writer spoke about it in Hebrews 4:13 when he said, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is open and laid bare. The King James says, before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There was just a ring to that sequence. But everything is open and laid bare to him to whom we must give account. The flip side of that, if our recognition of God is just a tiny fraction of his recognition of us, what a difference it makes in our lives. If we can just have a glimpse, a clue of what he is about, of what he's done for us, of his love for us, what an impact that it makes. Verses 9 through 12 of Psalm 90, Moses goes on to speak about how precious are our days. It says, all our days pass under your wrath. Verse 10 says, the length of days is 70 years or 80. It says, 70 or 80 if we have strength. And think about, as Lanny remembered his parents, I think about my father, passed away when he was 74 years old. So right between those two, 70 and 80 years old, they quickly pass and we fly away. There's just an image there that intrigues me, this flying away. And we sing that song about I'll fly away. Moses in verse 12, in this prayer to God, request, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. A lot packed in there. Teach us to number our days. How many days do we have? Well, each of us can count going backwards. Each of us can know how long we've lived. That's knowable. But none of us really know how many days we have left. We don't know that part. And Moses is just saying, help us to recognize that our time on earth is limited, that it's a short time and it's going to be over, and we need to make use of every second that's there. When we do that, when we know that our time's limited, it changes things. Back in August of 1985, there was a 747 that took off in Japan, a Boeing aircraft, Japan Airlines flight 123, and 12 minutes into the flight, rear cabin bulkhead that had been damaged in a hard landing years before and poorly repaired, that rear bulkhead broke open. When it broke open, it took off part of the vertical stabilizer and the plane lost its hydraulic controls. The pilots could not maintain adequate control of it. 32 minutes they tried to keep it under control, and then it crashed into a mountain ridge. 520 of the 525 folks on board that plane were killed in that crash. But in the 32 minutes that they had when they thought our life is in danger, they wrote. Many of them wrote notes to family. And many of those notes survived. That recognition of the short time changed what they had in mind to do as they sat there. Something similar to that happened on September 11th when folks on those four airliners realized that their lives were in jeopardy from the terrorist actions. Many of them had cell phones, and many of them left messages or called or talked to folks and shared something different. It's that sense of realizing our days, our minutes, our seconds are numbered that brings some focus to our life and may make things that seem so important go in the background and other things come forward. And I need to tell her I love her. I need to connect with family. I need to do those things. I appreciate a number of the movies that come out this time of year. George Bailey, Clarence, the Angel, the movie A Wonderful Life, where George Bailey was just not sure that his life was worth continuing to live, and Clarence visits him and helps him to understand that not only has he made a difference in the past, but he can make a difference going forward. And that understanding that he could make a difference, he can in the future, changed his perspective entirely to where the rest of his days, at least in the movie version, were days spent with joy, that he was having an impact, that he was making a difference there. That's what God would have of us, to spend our days with joy and making a difference overall. That's the end of Psalm 90, verses 13 through 17. Moses prays, "Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." That we can just know who you are, that we can know the wonder that you've created for us, the wonder of heaven, the security and peace and comfort, no matter what happens in this world, that you are God and you're in control. And we can count on you. He says, "May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to the children. May the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. Moses is just praying that God take over our lives, that his prayer, God, fill our hearts with joy, with understanding, give our hands work to do to honor and to serve him, that he guide us. It's the last movie reference, book reference, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Ebenezer Scrooge, that main character, and that lived a life focused on himself. Some may think in the background, the life of a cat. I'm not going there. Now, Ebenezer Scrooge lived a life that was focused on himself, and it was pitiful. It was sad. It was not good at all. And through this story, he came to understand what joy there was and opportunity there was to serve, to help, to take care of the Cratchits, to help others, and what a huge difference that made. Moses' prayer for us is that we will understand that our hearts will be filled with the joy of God's glory, that our hands will be used in his service, and that can happen going forward. As you think about the images of this past year, a lot of things happened. Moses saw a lot more than that. He took it in a different context. And in the picture of all of life going by, his prayer, his message was just a simple one. Help us know our life's short. Help us know that time we have is precious. Help us use our hands in this service that we can gain that heart of wisdom. That's my prayer, our prayer, the first day of this year, the first day of the rest of our lives, as we think about how can we honor him, how can we serve him. This morning, if your life is not connected with God in a meaningful way, if you've not obeyed him, been washed in the waters of baptism, now's an opportunity to just start the rest of your life on that right path. And if you have any needs that this body could help with, that you'd appreciate the prayers of the congregation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.
Hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my